Okay, so we begin now Be'ezras Hashem, part 22 of our Tefillah V'ad series. Be'ezras Hashem, we're going to learn tonight the brachas of Borech Oleinu, the ninth bracha of Shemoneh Esra, and the bracha of Tka B'Shofar, which is of course very timely in Yom HaDiyoma, the tenth bracha of Shemoneh Esra as well. Borech Oleinu, interestingly, the Gemara in Megillah tells us the reason why Borech Oleinu, which is the bracha of Parnasa, is placed ninth in the order of Shemoneh Esra, because, says the Gemara, a very interesting thing, it is a specific bracha besides for the general inyan of Parnasa, which of course we will get to in a moment, but specifically it is against those people who have very negative plans for the market. They deliberately push up the market prices, and that way they make it very difficult for people to purchase things. And the Gemara says that David HaMelech, in fact, wrote about this in Sefer Tehillim in the ninth perek, where he referred to those people who deliberately push up the market price. And because this bracha is a bakasha that those types of people should not have hatzlocha, and David HaMelech wrote about them in the ninth perek of Tehillim, that's why this too is situated ninth in the order of Shemoneh Esra. Either way, what this means to say, therefore, is teaching us a very important principle. There might be an abundance of tevuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu might send a year a very prosperous crop full of tevuah and parnasa, but it's all for nothing if the price is preclusive. If the prices are such that nobody can actually be the beneficiary of it, then we gain nothing from the tremendous bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends. And that's why we need to have a special bakasha that not only should HaKadosh Baruch Hu send parnasa, that there should be a prosperous year in the field, but furthermore, we should be able to take advantage of that parnasa, and we should not be priced out of the market. Which is a very important yesod generally. When we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for brachas, we ask, not only should He shower upon us His brachas, but also the ability to be able to benefit from those brachas. Yaakov Avinu, for example, davened. He said, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me lechem le'echol u'beged lilboish. Literally translated, bread to eat, clothes to wear. Why did he need to add those extra words, bread to eat? What else could you do with bread? Why did he need to add clothes to wear? What else can you do with them? And Mefarshim points out that this, he was explaining, he was davening exactly for this. It's not enough to have lechem. I should have the ability, le'choil, to eat it as well. It's not enough to have clothes. I should have the ability, I should be well enough to be able to benefit from them by wearing them. Lechem le'choil u'beged lilboish. Therefore, this is what this bracha is all about. Not only should we be the recipients of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha, but we should also be in a position that we're able to take advantage and benefit from that bracha. It's very important to know, to note, in the whole structure of the bakashas, these are the middle brachas that we're learning with now. There are 12 altogether, plus the Lamal Shinim. The first six, of which this is the final one, are all bakoshas on a personal level. I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for my chochma, for my tshuva, for my kapara, my refuah, my health, my wealth. And then we begin the next series of six, Be'ezus Hashem, in a few moments' time, when we talk about the general brachas. There should be the geula, klal Yisrael, there should be Yerushalayim, there should be Mashiach. That's not so much a personal bakosha. Of all the personal bakoshas, it's important to note that the inyan of Parnasa, as important as it is, but it's situated last. Which means, on the one hand, nothing in Shemoneh Esra is extra. We don't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the entire tefillah for extras, only for the basics, for the necessities of life. Of course, it's necessary to have parnasa, without it a person can't survive. And yet at the same time, Chazal have very subtly taught us, however important it is, but it's last on the list. More important is to have chokhmah, to have tshuva, to have be well and healthy, and eventually we get to parnasa. So in this bracha, the important bracha of parnasa, we must ask ourselves a fundamental question. What exactly does that mean that we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for parnasa? Borech Oleinu, please bench us, es Hashona Hazois, es Kol Minei Sforosa L'Toiva. What does it in fact mean? And we go back to a very fundamental question. After all, Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara in Beitza, we all know it, Mezeinoisov Shel Odom, the parnasa of a man, has all been ketsuvim, has all been allocated and designated for him mei Rosh Hashanah ad Rosh Hashanah, which means last year Leil Rosh Hashanah Tovshim Pei, it was all decided, written and sealed, exactly how much parnasa would be coming our way during this forthcoming year. So what exactly are we davening for? It can't be changed, it's all been sealed, written on Rosh Hashanah, sealed in Yom Kippur. It's ketsuvim. Ketsuvim means the exact amount has been allocated, so l'chayre, it's pointless davening. So in order to answer this question, we refer to a Gemara. Because the Gemara basically asks this question, not perhaps specifically with Parnasa, but the stage before, rainfall. Rainfall has also been decreed, Rosh Hashanah time, exactly the amount that will fall throughout the forthcoming year. And therefore the same question can and must be asked. So why are we davening the same Talumoto Livracha? Please give us rainfall, the exact amount of rainfall that will land has all been long decreed last Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says a very important answer. You're right. The amount of rainfall may well not be subject to change, because that's all been decreed. However, the tsura, the manner in which the rainfall will arrive, is very much dependent on your tefillah. For example, if there's a certain amount of rainfall that's been allocated throughout the year, then there are two ways of getting that allocation. Either in a huge downpour, you get your year's allocation in 2 or 3 days, and the rest of the year there's a drought, or it's allocated neatly and systematically throughout the course of the year. That's a bracha. Another example, you may get your given allocation, but where exactly will this rainfall land? There's not much point if it lands in inhabited areas. I need the rainfall in the fields where the tefillah is growing. Says the Gemara, that's what the tefillah is all about. Not to change the allocation. That's all niktav loy. That's all been allocated for him. But the timing and the placing of the rain, that is what the tefillah is all about. So too with regard to our parnasa. It's true. Last Rosh Hashanah, it was all decided how much parnasa we would earn this forthcoming year. But how would we earn it? Would all the money land on us in one go, which is not necessarily a good thing? Or would it not? That is going to be the dependent, that will be dependent on our tefillah. When we're davening for parnasa, what we're in fact saying is that we should not only have our allocation which has been given to us, but as the bracha says, we should be zoicha borech oleinu es hashona hazois. Everything that's been allocated for this year, it should be tfu'osa letoivo. It should be for good, as opposed to given to us in a damaging manner. You know, I remember in Great Britain in the United Kingdom, maybe 20, 25 years ago, when the national lottery was introduced. And there was very big excitement. I think the company was called Camelot. They were given the franchise to run the lottery, and there was mass hysteria in Great Britain. They'd never had anything like this before. And everybody went out to buy their first ticket for the national lottery, the pound, and everybody could really quite see themselves pictured on the front page of every newspaper as the grand national lottery winner. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, this all happens until today. After about 4 or 5 years of running the national lottery, a survey was put out. What actually happened to all these winners? The weekly winners of multi-million amounts of sterling in Great Britain, what happened to these winners? And a phenomenally tragic picture emerged from this survey. A number of them have committed suicide, and those who had stayed alive, a huge amount of them had slipped into total depression. So you see that a person can be given an enormous sum of money, it might not be a brocha at all. These people perhaps would have been far, far better off, instead of having this windfall amount of a number of millions of pounds just dropped on their heads, perhaps it would have been a better brocha. And indeed a brocha, had it been given in stipulation in small amounts over the course of their lifetime. And yet they won it overnight, and their life just turned into a misery as a result. That's what we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That whatever we have allocated for us last Rosh Hashanah, it should be the Suasa Latoiva, the same Talu Motor Livrocha. It should be a brocha. What do you mean? Isn't rainfall a brocha? Why are you davening that the rain should be a brocha? No, that's exactly what we're davening for. Because rainfall isn't necessarily a brocha. You have what's called Gishmei brocha. Sometimes rainfall is a brocha. Sometimes mass rainfall can be the cause of havoc and destruction. Then it's not a brocha. So the amount of rainfall may indeed be all allocated and not dependent on our tefillah. But the manner in which it falls, and the manner in which the parnasa, which albeit has been allocated, but the way it arrives at our doorstep, that is what we're davening for. That we should be zoicha ta parnasa l'toivo, l'toivo. We say in the bracha, v'sabeinu mituvecha, satiate us from your goodness. This can be understood, I think, in a couple of ways. Either in the way that we described before. Not only should we be the recipients of that brocha, but we should be able to be satiated from it. There are people who have lechem and are not able leechel. There are people who have beged and not able to be lilboish. So we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that indeed we should be satiated, like we said in the beginning. We should not only be the recipients of the brocha, but we should also be the beneficiaries of that bracha. But I think there's another meaning as well. The sabeinu mituvecha doesn't just mean in a physical manner, that we should be healthy enough to benefit from. Rather it means in our mental state we should feel satisfied. Because there are those, as Chazal tell us, yesh loy moneh reitze mosayim. When they're given 100, they're not satisfied. That only drives them to want more. Ein odom meis v'chatzi ta'avosoi v'yodoi. A person will invariably not die without reaching only half of that which he had a lust for during his life. He's never happy. He's never satiated. V'sabeinu mituvecha could mean not only I should be well in a physical manner, and thereby be able to benefit from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's brachas, but I should feel satiated. I should feel, as the Mishnah tells us, Eizehu Oshir HaSameach V'chelkoi. There is the very famous story where somebody came to the great Rebbe and he said, I have so many tzoros in my life, this and that and the other, I don't know how to cope. And the Rebbe said, you should go to the famous Reb Zisha. Go to Reb Zisha. You should talk to him about how to deal with problems in life. So he searched out Reb Zisha and he found Reb Zisha clothed in tattered and torn clothing. living in some sort of hovel that was supposed to be a house. And he said to Rav Zisha, I've been sent to speak to you. It's really what about? He says, I was sent to speak to you about how to cope with Yisurim. Because I have so many Yisurim in life and I'm so depressed as a result, I was told to you to speak about it. And Rav Zisha responded, there must be a mistake. I don't know what the Rebbe is referring to. I don't have any Yisurim. I have everything that I need. He looked at him incredulously. What do you mean? Barely I have clothing in your back or a roof over your head. But this was the mindset of Rav Zisha, and in fact that's why the Rebbe sent him there in the first place. It's a matter of how you look at it. Do you feel satiated? As far as Rav Zisha was concerned, he was lacking nothing. He had clothing, he had a roof over his head. What more could a man possibly want? And that's what we're governing in this bracha. V'sabeinu mituvecho, I should feel satiated. I should feel that I'm lacking nothing. You know, I once heard a number of years ago from Rabbi Zev Leff, where he described in his own unique style and perhaps a comical style, but he was trying to bring out a very powerful Musa point. He said, as a young Rav, I believe in Miami Beach, his shul went on a fundraising campaign to build a building. And, of course, in time-honored fashion, it was the Rav who was honored with the fundraising duties. So he goes round to all his Bnei Akehila, speaking to everyone, you know, could you donate this, could you donate the other, could you... And he said he came back, and he said he had the most incredible discovery. He said all the poor people in the Kehillah were only missing a little bit of money. He said the wealthy people were missing lots of money. He said, I went to the poor people. He said, the answer I got from most people was the same. I can't really donate at this moment. If only I had another $1,000 in my bank account, things would be different. The wealthy people obviously couldn't say that. What do you mean, if only you had $1,000? You do have $1,000. So what they said is, yeah, but if only I had another $1,000,000 in my bank account, everything would be different. So Rav Zev Leff said, tongue in cheek, so all the millionaires were far poorer than the poor people. Because the millionaires were lacking so much. The poor people who only had $1,000 said they're only missing $1,000. This is the bracha of the Sabeinu Mituvecho. Now, if somebody who's got millions stashed up in his bank account, but he doesn't feel satiated, so we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I should be able, both physically and also hashkafically, to feel the benefit of the brachas. I should be able to benefit from them in a physical way, and I should feel that I'm lacking nothing. The Yarei Sivash, Rav Yenis and Eberschitz, says that there is a specific kavana over here, over and above that which we've already discussed. Every person wants to have paranasa. But we want to earn our paranasa in a permissible manner. We want to earn money which is kosher, in every sense of the word. And that, says Rav Yenis and Eberschitz, is what we are davening for over here. V'sabeinu mituvecho, it should be toiv, as opposed to gezel or ribis or any other issa that I might have been over in order to accrue my wealth. But that's not toiv. It might be cash, but it's not toiv. V'sabeinu mituvecho means it should be essentially good. It should be free of any issa chas v'sholem that might have been necessary to earn this money. Finally, we finish and we say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mavorei Hashonim. Ultimately, that declaration, the clear realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mavorei Hashonim. We can invest our efforts here, there, and everywhere. But rather than saying, Koichi V'Oitzem Yodi, it's all my own great business know-how, no, the clear recognition that I do my ishtadlus, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mavorei Hashonim. He ultimately will decide the course of my year and my tzivur. We move over now to the 10th bracha. The 10th bracha is Tekav HaShofar, and as we referred to before, we're switching mode now. Why are we switching mode? Because we've now finished with the brachas on an individual level, and we're moving over to the brachas on behalf of the klal. Now it's true, all the brachas of the yochid were all said v'loshein rabin. Of course I'm davening for other people as well, but it's a bracha that pertains specifically and mainly to me, my parnasa and my health, etc., etc. Whereas over here we're davening for Tekaba Shofar, there should be a bracha of Kibbutz Goliath. Kibbutz Goliath means that rather than having Klal Yisrael scattered around the world, we should all be back, brought back together again. Now obviously, this is not merely a bracha stating that our geographical location should change. There is deep meaning behind this bracha. The reasons for which we had to be dispersed in the first place, those reasons should be no longer relevant. That's really what we're davening for. We're not just davening, can we all please live in the same land? Rather, whatever was the cause of being scattered amongst the world in the first place, we're davening to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they should no longer be relevant and that we should be worthy of being brought back. We have to stop and make a very, very important introduction over here. The important introduction is as follows. The biggest difficulty that we have in our Avodas Hashem in general, and specifically with regard to the period of time that we now find ourselves in, is we get all too comfortable. When a person is comfortable and he feels that he's not lacking anything, then there's absolutely nothing to daven for. There's nothing to daven for. Everything is just fine in my ruchnias and in my gashmias, so why would I daven? This is especially true when we're talking about golus and geula. If we get all too comfortable in golus, whether we are in Chutz La'aretz or here in Eretz Yisrael, it makes no difference, then we can't quite understand why we must daven for the geula. Who's missing the Beis HaMikdash? You know, this terrible feeling that perhaps we feel sometimes and we don't want to be honest enough to admit, as we're sitting on the floor in Tisha B'Av and we think, please, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, bring the Mashiach, but if you could kindly do so after my summer vacation, I've already booked a 2-week holiday. Is that what we're really feeling? You know, Mashiach could come, but as long as it doesn't interfere in my vacation plans, that would be terrible. What Chazal are teaching us by instituting this bracha, and in fact these series of brachas, is that the geula, the Mashiach, the Beis HaMikdash, they're all critical to my life and I can't survive without them. In the same way as nobody has a question, why must I daven for refuah? It's not important. Well, everybody understands, of course it's important, otherwise I don't have my life. Chazal are teaching us that no less important, and maybe more so, is my spiritual standing. I cannot survive without the Beis HaMikdash, without Geula, without Moshiach. And when we mention in this bracha, we say Tka B'Shofar, we talk about our Cheiruseinu, our freedom. We have to believe that and feel that we're actually not free people. And this has never been so true than in the age that we find ourselves in now. The more we live surrounded by goyim, whether geographically or technologically, we are avodim to the goyim. We are avodim not only to their laws, but more importantly to their values, and it infiltrates every step and every day of our lives. We are not free people. We don't necessarily determine the values in our own homes, because we all read newspapers and we're all getting emails and we're all connected to the internet and we're all surrounded by goyim. Cheiruseinu is what we're asking our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if only we should be able to indeed become free people. That, of course, will be the hemshech of the brachas that we'll discuss in coming weeks. We need our leadership back, Hashiva Sheikhenu, etc., etc. But if we don't feel that, and we feel that indeed we are free people, and Golos is just fine and dandy, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, if you're not missing anything, then there's no need to bring the Beis HaMikdash. As Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk wrote his famous chilling words in the 1920s, when he writes in Parshas Bechukosai about those people who think that Berlin ki Yerushalayim. Absolutely chilling words. He wrote this about a decade before the lights were turned off in Europe, and quite frankly haven't really been turned back on, because there were people, as the Yoreh Sameach wrote, who think that Berlin is Yerushalayim. We're in bombing Germany, everything couldn't be better. The cutting edge of fashion and culture and technology. What are we missing? This is Yerushalayim, isn't it? And of course we can translate that to Berlin is Yerushalayim, and London is Yerushalayim, and New York is Yerushalayim. And really, tragically, we can really add and say that some people think that Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim, but it isn't. And if we think it is, just because we can take a number 3 bus and go to the coastal Maravi, then it means we're not missing what really is Yerushalayim or HaKodesh. And that's what this bracha is all about. The very fact that we have a bracha in our daily tefillah means we are expressing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal are teaching us that we are supposed to be expressing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in the same way as I cannot survive physically without refuah, without parnasa, without das, so too I cannot survive spiritually without the Beis HaMikdash, without Mashiach. And if I don't honestly feel that, then we have a lot of work to do, and this is the period of year in which we invest efforts into that. So we begin the bracha, Tka b'shofar gadol. Which shofar is this? Chazal tell us that when Avraham Avinu was about to shecht his son Yitzchak, and at the last moment an isle, a deer, a ram, suddenly appeared, and that was shechted in its place, Chazal tell us, it's a Pirkei Drub Elezer, that this ram had 2 horns, 2 shofaros. One of them was used by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to blow the shofar at Matan Torah. And the other was the shofar that will be blown when the Mashiach arrives. The Pasuk in Yeshaya, we say it in Rosh Hashanah, V'hoya b'yayim ha'hu yitoka b'shofar gadol. This is the shofar that we're referring to. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should be gathered in Me'arba Kanfoi Sa'aretz. Once again, this is not just a reference to the geographical location of Klal Yisrael, but rather to the different types of golos. The golos in America is different to the golos in Britain, which is different to the golos in Russia, which is different to the golos in Asia. Each country has its golos. There are some countries in which there is a tremendous shefa of wealth that itself is not a bracha. There are some countries where there is restriction on Jewish way of life. That's a different type of golos, and that's what we're asking. Me'arba kanfoi sa'aretz, from every land, every state, every culture, where Klal Yisrael are subjected to that particular culture, that should all be changed and we should be brought back. The Maral tells us, and this is a very, very important yesod, and again, in particular, for this time of year. Klal Yisrael in Golos is not natural. It's abnormal. And woe betide, as we mentioned before, if we feel that it is normal, because it isn't. That is not the natural state and being of Klal Yisrael. It's unnatural. The chizuk to us, says the Maral, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created his world is, anything that's unnatural must eventually snap back and become natural. Imagine, for example, you take a piece of wood or plastic and you bend it. and you hold it in between your hands in its bent shape. That is its unnatural state. And the proof is, you let go, and it will snap back into its natural straight line. The natural state of Klal Yisrael is not to be in Golos. When there is Oynish, when there is Hester upon him, then we are exiled. What does that mean, it's not our natural state? What's unnatural about it? Says the Maharal, three things. Firstly, we're not supposed to be dispersed around the world. We're supposed to all be, all of Klal Yisrael, here in Eretz Yisrael. Secondly, the very fact, not just that we're in the wrong country, but the fact that we are in different countries. Meaning, even if we were all collected in one particular place, that would be bad enough, because it wouldn't be in Eretz Yisrael. But on top of that, not only are we not in Eretz Yisrael, but we're in different places, we're scattered all over. And thirdly, the fact that we are subjugated to the will of other nations. We are not our own bosses. Those are the three principles of Golos. We are not in our natural land. We are not in our natural state, which is Echod, Klal Yisrael Echod. And we are not in our natural being of having our own dominion. I once heard that if you look carefully at this bracha of Tekah B'Shofar, all three of those principles are mentioned. Tekah B'Shofar Gadol L'Cheiruseinu. We should not be avodim to other nations. That's one point. Secondly, the Sarnes, the Kabbat, Goluyo Isenu, we shouldn't be dispersed and scattered. That's another unnatural state of Klal Yisrael. And then the Kapseinu, Yachad, Me'arba, Kamfei Sa'oretz, we should all come back to Eretz Yisrael. Those three points, Golos is unnatural for three reasons. We're not in the right land, we're not unified as we should be, and we're not our own, we're not in charge of our own destiny. Finally, we should just say in conclusion, and again, this is so pertinent in Yonah D'Yoma, in as much as Golos is unnatural, then we have to recognize that and feel that, and yearn to once again be restored to our natural state. If indeed we yearn for it, then indeed we can be zeicha to it. We say in Yigdal, Liftois Mechake Kates, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem who? Those who are waiting. Or we say on Shabbos morning, V'simlei Choleinu, please reign over us, Ki Mechakim Anachnu Loch, because we are waiting for you. Meaning, that's the ticket. If indeed we're waiting, then we have the right, the zechus, to daven for it. You know, the Chofetz Chaim once asked somebody, he said to him, tell me, do you always speak the truth, or do you lie? And the person was very startled by the question. Said, what do you mean? As far as I know, I always tell the truth. Said the Chofetz Chaim, really? Every Shabbos morning, when you say, the Simlei Choleinu, please reign over us, Ki Mechakim Anachnu Loch, because we are waiting for you. Are you really? Asked the Chofetz Chaim. Because if you're not, how can you say that you're a truthful person? Week in, week out, you're uttering a lie. So this is the time of year when we feel, and we work on feeling, that Golos is unnatural. And if we make ourselves too comfortable in Golos, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you can stay right there. If Berlin is in Yerushalayim, then you can stay in Berlin. But if in the contrary, we turn around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, if we're davening every single day for Cheiruseinu, when we realize this is unnatural, and indeed we're waiting and davening that we should be restored back to our natural state, Ki Mechakim Anachnu Loch, then indeed we can daven and we'll be zeicha to that geula. As Chazal tell us, Kol ha-mis'abel al Yerushalayim. If indeed you mourn over Yerushalayim, then you could be zeicha to see the geula. That's the lashon of the Gemara.
kolam es abol al Yerushalayim zoicha v'roya v'yishuasa u'benechmasa. But if you're not misabel al Yerushalayim, and we look at the 3 weeks and the 9 days as the Tisha B'Av, as something that we have to negotiate and get through and survive, and then we can get on with our vacation plans, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're comfortable where you are, then you can stay where you are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help Be'ez HaShem, that we should daven this tefillah with kavona shlema, feel that indeed we do not have chayrus, and we're not in our natural state, and we don't belong here. And then Be'ez HaShem will be zeicha to hear that shofar gadol of the Mashiach coming. May indeed it be b'mehira b'yomeinu.
Oh, thank you.